Deerhead Radio on AM 1230, KPRL, 99.3 FM with Jimmy Purdy is brought to you by Shifting Gears and Pass Robles, 1621 North River Road. Shifting Gears has you covered from your weekend cruiser to your daily commuter. And now let's join Jimmy Purdy on The Right Choice, AM 1230, KPRL, 99.3 FM, and KPRL.com.
Good morning. Welcome in. You are tuned in to Gearhead Radio. Phone lines are open, 805-238-5775. That's 805-238-KPRL. If you have any questions about your vehicle or want some advice about the auto industry, I can help you with it. I don't know if I can give you the right answer, but it's my opinion, so take it for what it's worth. First things first, let's get into some weather for today because it is June. It's like June gloom, though. It's not like the hot June yet, but it's getting warm. And with that being said, today, high of 84. Tomorrow, exactly the same. It's going to cool down a little bit at the beginning of next week and then get up into the high 90s by Wednesday. We might be seeing some triple digits in some areas here in Paso, so be prepared for that. And it's cooling back off just a little bit into the high 80s into next weekend. So got a little bit of warm weather coming in. Time to get the shorts on, sandals. It was cold last night. Not cold, it got cool. It was a nice day, and then it definitely cooled off. So we're into that kind of weather. That's what we like. So it's hard if it gets warm, but it's when it just needs to cool off. As long as it doesn't sustain, right? Like out in Fresno and Bakersfield where it's just 100 and then it's 95 at night. Let's not do that. Make sure we get our coastal breeze in. That's why we're here. That's what we like to see. What do we have for events going on? I don't have any major events that I know of. If you do, feel free to call in. I appreciate all the events that go around in the area here. We just got through with the Classic of the Pismo, which is another great show. The weather down there was fantastic for that 3-day event, and I think it was one of the biggest shows I've seen. The place was just packed. Another great event for the Classic of Pismo last weekend. Or was it the weekend before? Losing track. Yeah, the weekend before. So the next one coming up, one thing I want to give a shout out to is Pints for Flights. So this is kind of an informal show at the Poorhouse here in Paso. It's the last Sunday of every month. They're starting at 12 o'clock. It's a benefit for the Honor Flight of Central Coast. So pretty cool, just informal little, meetup. It's over behind the post office there at the Poorhouse on Pine Street here in Paso. So if you're looking for something to do on Saturdays, the last Sunday of every month. I don't know why I said Saturdays. Because Saturdays, I wanted to mention Cider Creek as well. If you're looking for a little meetup, I think Saturday morning, everyone's meeting up at Cider Creek as an informal meetup as well. So a couple things to keep the fresh fuel in the old car, right? Getting them all shined up and cleaned up for these car shows, and they just fly right by. And then you're like, man, I did all this work, and now what do I do with it? I park it back in the garage? No, there's plenty of stuff going on. Also, the cruise rotation, Templeton, Atascadero, Paso, Santa Margarita, and San Miguel. That is every Friday night, informal cruise/meetup. Now, the Atascadero one's been changing a lot. It was Kmart parking lot, and now I believe they're meeting up at Ted Miles or the old Ted Miles parking lot. If you're interested in that, I'd probably jump on Facebook. Bruce Sundberg, he's on the Pass Robles Cruise something or another group. You look it up there and stay in tune with that. Templeton's always downtown Templeton, so that's easy. Same with Santa Margarita. Those are easy ones to find, but get out and cruise it around. It's always good to burn some fuel when it's $5 a gallon. It's not that bad, right? I mean, yeah, it sucks, but we all got to deal with it together. So I just never understood the saving 10 cents a gallon driving across town for it. I've brought that up so many times. I just don't get it. It's a 16 gallon tank. It's like, even if it's 10 cents more, like, what is that? I get it at the end of the year, it adds up, but what are we going to do about it? Well, one thing we can do about it, considering it's a voting year, is go vote. And with that being said, segues into the next proposal for California. I think you're really going to like this one. This one's interesting. So, California's new proposal aims to regulate aftermarket tires. So, the California Energy Commission has put forward a new proposal that could have a massive impact on the aftermarket tire industry. Now, the proposed replacement tire efficiency program aims to reduce carbon emissions in the state by requiring that all replacement tires sold for cars be at least as efficient as the original equipment tires sold on the cars. Sure, surface, that sounds reasonable, right? I think most of us, when we go buy tires, we want... we're basically looking for the cheapest tires, right? Until you realize, well, that one's only got a 30K warranty, and these ones, the other ones for another $40 give you 60K. Again, it goes back to stepping over a dollar to pick up a dime, right? Just the race for the bottom to get to the bottom of the barrel, and then you're like, well, wait, if I spend an extra $30, I can get, you know, twice the mileage coverage. That definitely sounds like a better idea. So that's most of our tire purchasing thought process, right? Doesn't really go beyond that. Now, what if that was taken away from you and you're only allowed the higher end tires? You're only allowed to get the tires that were put on the car from the factory. Now that changes a little bit, right? It takes away your choice. Maybe at the end of your thought process, you're like, you know what? The extra mileage would be great, but I don't really need it. I don't really want it. This car sits a lot. I'm replacing the tires now because they're 10 years old and they're still half tread. I see that all the time. I've had cars come in with 15-year-old tires, and I've gone over what date codes are when you check the date code, and you have to have, you know, the week and then the year. Well, there used to be three digits where that was back before 2000. I've had three-digit date codes come in. That means it came from prior to 2000. You're talking 30-year-old tires on the cars that are still rolling around on the streets. And the tread looks great. So they're just old and worn out. So I guess my point is removing that option is what the problem is. Now, this proposal puts itself that OE tires are more energy or more fuel efficient than their replacement counterparts. And that by improving the efficiency of replacement tires, California could cut back on the state's CO2 emissions. And California drivers could save on fuel costs. So this is for you. They're doing this for you. The CEC's proposal uses 2024 pricing to suggest that its new regulation could save drivers an average of $79 over the four-year lifespan of a set of tires between 2028 and 2023, and $153 over the same lifespan from 2031 onward. Now, the CEC expects the proposal would save $1 billion annually in fuel costs and reduce CO2 emissions by 2 million metric tons per year. However, the proposal overlooks several key details about how tires function and how they serve as pollutants. In my opinion, if they have the time to look at rolling resistance on tires to save you $79 over 4 years, I think we need to find some bigger problems they can go figure out. I don't see. Now, while it's true that drivers often see a drop in fuel efficiency the first time that they swap their vehicle's tires, the CO2 emitted by burning fuel is only one part of the equation when it comes to vehicle pollution. Since no two tire compounds are the same, we can't give a detailed breakdown of the byproducts produced by tire manufacturers, but we can say that producing more tires does create more waste. And California's proposal could significantly shorten the lifespan of the average replacement tire. While tire manufacturers are generally tight-lipped about the lifespans of their factory tires to the point that they won't provide mileage warranties, the replacement all-season tires generally come with warranties of 60,000 miles or more. Some of them come with, say, 20 to 40,000 for the more cheaper options. Now, according to test data compiled by Tire Reviews, California's proposal could bring the life expectancy of replacement tires below 30,000 miles. Tire manufacturers, along with automakers they work with, generally tune factory equipped tires with a lower rolling resistance and a lower tread depth than their aftermarket equivalents. Take the Hankook Kenergy GT all-season tire. The 195-65 R15 tire that's standard on the Hyundai Elantra weighs 16.9 pounds. And it comes with 8.5 by 32 seconds of tread depth. The replacement tire and the same exact weighs at 17.9 pounds and comes with 10 30 seconds of tread depth and gets a 70,000 mile warranty. Now, while the OE tire doesn't get any warranty, the setup works well for automakers because it helps their vehicles achieve more impressive fuel economy figures, and consumers accept the trade-off because tires are a known consumable expense. So what we're getting to here is when you buy a car brand new, right off the showroom floor, the tires that are on that vehicle have been put on just to get the CAFE standards. They're designed, everything on that car when it rolls off is all about the fleet fuel saving. How efficient can they make this vehicle? How far can they make 1 gallon of fuel last on a treadmill? And then they can say, okay, well, all our vehicles in general get this many miles per gallon. That's why the advertised mile per gallon never quite lines up to what you get in the real world. And part of it is due to tires. Make the tires a little bit lighter by not having as much tread, reducing the rolling resistance. You're not going to get that tire because the aftermarket are like, well, we'll just make tires better. And that's what we do is aftermarket. We make things better. We'll get into this here after the break.
Hi, this is Chris from We Help You Legal. Legal documents should be simple and affordable. At We Help You Legal, there are no lawyers and no high costs, just certified experts to assist you with living trusts, wills, divorce matters, corporations, and LLCs.
Hi, I'm Christina. We also offer notary services. You can find us online at wehelpyoulegal.com or call 805-237-7770.
We Help You Legal, your Central Coast legal document company.
Is this a sign you need a sign? The Blueprinter and Graphics in downtown Paso Robles can help your business be seen. In addition to flyers, business cards, invitations, wine club signups, and blueprints, the Blueprinter and Graphics offers vinyl banners, PVC, coroplast, and metal signs, as well as full-color posters. Check out their new website at pasoblue.com. That's pasoblue.com. And be seen with the Blueprinter and Graphics in downtown Paso Robles.
The Taylor Ranch has a new bison harvest in, and it's selling fast. I'm Susanna Luthi, host of KPRL's Free Talk California and Rancher. I want our community to thrive one plate of bison at a time. We've got new offerings like spicy bison sausage and a bison club that keeps you and meat all year long and gives special perks like a ranch bison safari. Bison transports you back 100 years when meat was what nature intended. Wild, wildly nutritious, and so very delicious. Order now at Taylor Ranch 1868.
If you need a great, easy place for lunch, try the Spirit of Paso Robles in the River Oaks neighborhood. There is plenty of parking, and it's just a couple minutes from downtown Paso. Some of the locals' favorites, grilled prawn cob salad, cowboy Cuban with brisket and pulled pork, smash burger with two patties, the very popular beer battered fish and chips, and shrimp tacos. Great lunch and easy parking, and the patio is pet friendly. The Spirit of Paso Robles, right in the middle of River Oaks Golf Course.
And welcome back in. You are tuned into Gearhead Radio. I'm your host, Jimmy Purdy from Shifting Gears Auto Repair. We are located at 1621 North River Road in Paso Robles. Check us out online at shiftinggears805.com. I'd also like to give you a little inside tip, something called the Key Lime Club. You bring the keys, and we got the limes. It's our exclusive membership, and it's free to join. All you got to do is come to the shop. One repair and you're enrolled, you start earning 2% back on all your repairs. We keep track of it. We'll send you text reminders so you have the balance. You can also check up your balance online on our website at shiftinggears805.com. The Key Lime Club. Start earning free oil changes. Lots of member perks that we're going to keep rolling out as the year goes on, as the years go on. So it's our way of giving back and thanking you for being a loyal client. Before the break, if you have any anything you want to chime in on this, the phone lines are open, 805-238-5775. So California is proposing to remove aftermarket tires so that only the OE equivalent is going to be your option. Now, a couple things with the manufacturing process. Aftermarket tire companies produce tires with more tread. They're heavier, they're meatier, they last longer. Their goal is to produce the best product they can, to an extent, right? We all know in this day and age, everyone's trying to cut costs and all that as much as they can. But for the most part, the aftermarket tires do come with a warranty, which you don't get from the OE. And two, they do come with more tread. They're heavier, there's more rubber, they last longer. They just do. And there's other things that we don't know with the OE side. It's all tight-lipped. There's definitely a different tire that is sold to the OE than what you get from the same tire manufacturers on the aftermarket side. That's just what it is. But if now we're forcing these manufacturers to only produce OE, that's going to increase production costs, right? Now it's the changeover. You got to change things. So now you're going to get a tire that's less tread, less rubber, for more money. And this is going to be your only equivalent. Now, this at first, it just looks like it's a target. It's targeting the aftermarket industry. Not the aftermarket industry. The custom world, right? For race tires and, you know, drag tires. And if you want aftermarket, you know, off-road tires, all that. That seems like what it's targeting. But this is going to affect everybody. Right, like I said when I began this segment, it eliminates your choice if you want something else. Maybe you want a different set of wheels on it. You know, maybe you want to invest a little money, get something, but you're not going to be able to. Good morning, you're on Gearhead Radio.
Good morning, Jimmy.
How are you?
Okay, how you doing?
I'm good.
All right. See, I wanted to tell you about my tires. I bought a brand new Toyota pickup truck back in 2008. It was an 09 model, and it came with Dunlop tires on it.
Nice.
But anyway, I'm a true believer in Dunlop because they were guaranteed for 80,000 miles. And at 80,000 miles, I finally put new Dunlops on them. The treads on those Dunlops that I took off were still so good. They weren't hardly worn down at all. But I had a little bit of minor hairline cracking on the sides. So when I got new tires, I got the exact same Dunlops that I had. Because, the treads were just, the treads were still just, like I said, so thick still.
Yeah, they're just getting a little aged, huh?
Yeah, they're just a little bit aged on the sides. You know, a little bit of hairline cracking on the sides of the tires. But the treads themselves, I mean, they could have just kept going and going as far as the treads were. So Toyota sure put some good tires on I guess Dunlop's a good tire. I'm a believer in them.
Yeah, it's one of the high-end ones, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I just wanted to tell you how good my Dunlops lasted me. 80,000 miles, it was still good tread on.
That's awesome, yeah.
Yeah, okay, take care.
Thanks, bye. Yeah, I guess depending on your driving habits, also has a lot to do with how, you know, where you drive, the weight of the vehicle, if you keep them rotated. Again, I see a lot of tires last. I mean, it's like brakes. Like, how long are brakes going to last? Well, it depends on how much you stop. You know, brakes really aren't calculated by mileage because you're not braking while you're going. With tires, you're always going, but stoplight warriors, stuff like that, it wears tires out. Good morning, you're on Gearhead Radio.
Good morning. So the question I have on this whole tire thing, so if they make the tires such that they don't get as much mileage, is that kind of the overview of what's happening if this goes through?
Well, the main thing here is It's a proposal, and it's aiming to regulate aftermarket tires in a sense where if your vehicle came with a certain amount of tires, and maybe you got a good set on your vehicle that lasted a long time. Okay, I don't have a problem with that. I'll go with the OEs. They lasted, you know, 80,000 miles. I'm happy with that. Now, say good you luck. get another vehicle like... Maybe a hybrid, right? They come with kind of a softer tire, and the tires wear out much faster. And it's like, you know what? I don't mind sacrificing a little bit of ride quality to get a harder rubber tire so that I get more miles out of them. They're eliminating that possibility and saying the only tire you can get is the rolling resistance tire that it came with. So,
and most of them get 20 to 30,000 miles on a brand new car.
That's on the low end, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So what was interesting is that years ago, I remember the argument, the environmental argument is we want harder tires so that they don't, because where does that tire wear go? You know, they were concerned it was an environmental hazard because the rubber was wearing down and entering the...
It would wash off the sidewalk, go into the oceans.
Right. Yeah, so yeah. Here, they're kind of going the other way in some essence. Because I bought a Honda CR-V 5 years ago, and I got 29,000 miles off the original tires. So the next set of tires I put on, obviously I bought some that will last a little bit longer, you know, guaranteed a little bit longer than that. But it comes down to, it seems like they're changing gears here just to regulate. I'm just so over so over the government. My mind is still boggled trying to figure out. They passed a law several years ago that you'd be billed for your electricity according to your income. And when I went back and tried to figure out where that was, I was told I'd have to file a Freedom of Information Act. But this just seems to be going down like the same road. I think we need part-time people on all these committees and in the legislature.
Absolutely. If they have that kind of time to look at rolling resistance of tires, right? I think we have too many people that are on the board.
It goes against what they said years ago as far as, well, we want harder tires because we want less of that on the roads washing around. So
yeah.
It's crazy. But anyway, thanks, Jimmy.
Yeah, thanks for the call. Yeah, I think with this one here, it doesn't seem like a black or white what tire necessarily we're going for. Some manufacturers, like with hybrids, you're going to get a softer tire. It just depends on what came with OE. So I don't know if they're necessarily legislating that they want a certain type of tire. I think they're just trying to target what the OE put, and they're going to pin that on, okay, so if the OE manufacturer put out this vehicle, right, if a 2012 Toyota Camry has an estimated 32 miles per gallon per city, they're trying to, or per highway, and 28 per city, or whatever it is, they're trying to say, keep everything exactly the way it was when it rolled off the showroom floor. No more modifications. Keep it exactly the way it is, and that's what they're linchpinning on. If you change the tires, it's going to change the mileage, which then it ruins our calculations of how much CO2 emissions and all the stuff that we're going to produce. Now, there's obviously something bigger going on. They don't care about the consumer. This is not for you and me. It's right here. It says you're going to save $78 in 4 years. I don't think any of us care about that. Like, as far as taking away our freedom, like if we can take away the freedom of being able to do what I want with my car for $78 over 4 years, right? It's, was it $18? $18 a year? That's not enough. You're not saving me enough to make the decision for me. Stop spending my money and telling me that it's good for me. I'm not into that. So it's not for us. And there's also obviously a higher level, and it's trying to get California to look like we're saving the world and look at all these great things that we're doing. And it's obviously for something else that you and I don't know. I don't know. I'm not smart enough to know what's going on behind closed doors for something like this to pass. It doesn't make sense to me. And it's just great call, great point. It's too much bureaucracy, too many people with too much control. Micromanaging, I think, is the best way to put it. Just micromanaging for absolutely no reason. Talking about rolling resistance of tires. Can you imagine? Just think of this. There's like 15 grown adults in a room right now, suit and tie, being paid your tax dollar, talking about the rolling resistance of tires. It just blows my mind. Go fix the roads. Maybe start that. We've already spent all this money to have road infrastructure. Why don't you just make the roads smoother? And that will reduce rolling friction. Like, that's... blows my mind. Anyway, I better change topics here before this mic catches on fire. I gotta take a break. We'll be right back.
Ace Auto Care, 1 mile east of El Camino on the corner of Traffic Way and Via, Atascadero.
Stevens Secretary of War Pete Hegseth said the Normandy, France, commemorating the 82nd anniversary of the D-Day landings in World War II, honoring those who perished on and survived that day.
They are a living embodiment of the warrior ethos we today revive at the Department of War. To the veterans here today, who served in France and around the globe. Gentlemen, we love you.
D-Day, June 6, 1944, the largest amphibious invasion in history. The U.S. adding 172,000 jobs in May.
Right now, Wall Street just doesn't understand that the Trump economy is really creating an economic golden age. And then another thing that is probably not going to make the headlines, certainly not in the fake news, is that the numbers keep getting revised up.
Kevin Hassett on Fox America's listening to Fox News.
Gold is at an all-time high. Now is the time to take your scrap gold and turn it into cash or trade it in for new jewelry at Bella Jewel Fine Jewelry in Paso Robles. Take the old or broken bracelets, chains, rings, or trinkets that you never wear and go home with cash in your pocket or get an additional 25% off to use towards a new item. Bella Jewel Fine Jewelry is family-owned and located at 1224 Pine Street in the heart of downtown Paso Robles. Open Wednesday through Saturday.
Protect your home or business. Trust the experts at JV Roofing. With over 20 years of experience, JV Roofing delivers reliable, high-quality workmanship you can count on. From shingle, tile, and metal roofs to TPO and PVC systems, they have the expertise to handle it all. Family-owned, licensed, and bonded, they show up and get the job done right. Visit jvroofingca.com or call 805-674-1383 today for free estimates. JV Roofing, quality you can trust.
Hi, it's Brian Carroll from A1 Glass. Get rewarded when you upgrade to Milgard windows and doors and earn up to $100 back per patio door and up to $40 back per Milgard window. Enjoy better comfort, energy efficiency, a home that looks incredible, and huge savings. Don't wait, the spring sales event ends June 8th. Plus, A1 Glass is your local family-owned award-winning team, voted best on the Central Coast. A1 Glass, for all your glass needs.
Qualifying Milgard products only. Rewards issued as electronic gift cards. See A1 Glass for details.
John Stafford Construction and Pest Control, locally owned and operated for over 20 years. Combination of construction, whether it's new construction, remodel, and concrete work, along with pest control, including termites and bird control, and more. Get it done the right way and on time. John Stafford Construction and Pest Control, the one call that does it all. Give John a call, 466-8667. Sometimes getting a gift for someone can be a little bit of a head-scratcher, and you just don't know what to do. How about a gift certificate from Diamond Detailing? Whatever size vehicle, Diamond Detailing. Inside and out, they'll have it looking brand new, and it'll smell good as well. So relax, you've got it covered. A gift certificate from Diamond Detailing.
The Red Scooter Deli with two locations, downtown and on 6th Street in Paso Robles. The downtown location on Pine Street is open 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. on Thursdays now for concerts in the park. Plan your musical enjoyment with a to-go dinner from the downtown Red Scooter Deli. Great deli fresh food delivered throughout Paso Robles, Templeton, the airport area, and wineries. Go to redscooterdeli.com. Don't forget to order your party platters for graduation or Father's Day from the Red Scooter Deli.
And welcome back. You are tuning to Gearhead Radio. I appreciate you hanging out here. Make sure you mark your calendar if it's your first time. Every Saturday at 9 a.m., I'm bringing you Gearhead Radio. And I'm your host, Jimmy Purdy from Shifting Gears Auto Repair. I am a ASC Certified Master Technician. How long has it been? 15 years? So I feel like I'm just starting to figure a little bit of this out. I think I've learned that I don't know everything. That's where I'm at. We're just getting the ball rolling here. So we're all learning together. If you have any questions about your vehicle or something with the auto industry you want to chat about, phone lines are open, 805-238-5775. You can also text 805-238-5775. And I'm staring at the screen now. So any questions you want me to air out, talk about, topics, feel free to call or text in and we can chat about it. Before the break, first half of the show anyway, we talked about tires, some California legislation. Now, this is not anywhere near anything. It's just a proposal. So keep that in mind. It's not making any moves. I've also looked into the Lano law. That is kind of at a standstill as well. Definitely stonewalling that one. Haven't seen any progress with that. I'm excited to see with SEMA coming up right on the corner. We got just 4 months before that. Curious to see what happens with that, because SEMA is a big part of that. And same with the Right to Repair Act. It's all big, huge, huge sponsors of that bill. So interested to see once I get there this year and how far along that Leno law has come. And if you're not familiar with the Leno law, that's the rollback for the smog. Start kicking that and get it off the 1976 number and move it forward. So those vehicles would start rolling over on a 30-year instead of being stuck at 76, which is kind of crazy if you really think about it. That's quite the gap from 2026 to 1976. I mean, there's no emissions parts for 1976 up to 1988, 89. I mean, it's like obsolete unless you find them used, but all the salvage yards have been completely cleaned out. And for good cause. I mean, you're 2026, so 1996, 30 years. That's a lot of vehicles you're going to have in the junkyard. Right? Like, if I was running a salvage yard, I probably wouldn't want vehicles that are 30 years or older either. And that's a 1996. So it makes good sense to do the rollover, but anyway, that's stagnant. So what I was talking about was California proposing aims to regulate aftermarket tires. So we'll definitely be keeping this in the crosshairs and following this. So make sure you tune in every Saturday to stay informed, or you can always just look it up online too. But who wants to do that when you can just hear it on the radio? All right, moving on. What do we got next? Let's shift gears and talk a little bit about differentials, because it's four-wheeling season. It's spring right into summertime. You probably want to get out into the wilderness, and maybe not. This is just some interesting stuff to talk about. Locking and limited slip differentials. What does all that mean? How does a Posi-Chack on the rear end of a Plymouth work? It just does. It's a Joe Dirt reference if you don't know. Broadly speaking, differentials can be categorized into open, locking, and limited slip. And each of these types of differentials can be mechanically or electronic. And they can also be air actuated. In its most basic format, an open differential allows the inner and outer wheels to spin at different speeds when the car is taking a corner. That's important, right? So if you're cornering on the back roads, you have to remember that the outside of the vehicle is taking a longer line than the inside, so you need one wheel to spin a little bit faster. Good morning on Gearhead Radio.
Hey, good morning.
Hey.
I was wondering if you had any experience, and I might got the numbers, it's a Chevys are really pushing them on their Silverados with the 2.7 turbocharged four-cylinder and a 1500 truck. Have you had any experience with those motors?
I have not. Not yet.
I'm looking at buying one, and it seems like everyone out there that has this 2.7 turbo, but I just can't see that in a, you know, a half-ton truck. But, all right, well, maybe if you ever do see one, you can talk about it on your show.
I guess we're all the guinea pigs for it, huh?
Oh, yeah, and they still want that pretty penny, so.
Yeah, I think that's they call it the Turbo Max, right? So the Duramax?
Yeah.
Yeah, so
it's... Well, somebody thought because it said Duramax, they make them in gas and diesel, so...
Oh, that's right. Yeah, because the three liter was the diesel one, and then the 2.7 they went gas. Yeah, the diesel one, the diesel one was a little ridiculous. Some of the maintenance stuff was absolutely. I know there's a timing belt they put on the back plate of the engine. You got to remove the transmission to get to it. But yeah, that gas or 2.7, that is the new one. I have not had any. Nothing that I know of yet.
All right. Well, like I said, if you do. Sure like to hear what your opinion is. So.
Absolutely, yeah. I'll definitely be the first to now say anything about it for sure.
Yeah, okay, well, thanks.
Thanks for the call. Bye.
All right.
Good morning, you're on Gearhead Radio.
Hi. Hey, I got a question. I have a 2013 Silverado, 5.3 liter. I love the truck. But I noticed that in the mornings when I first started up, I'm getting the clicking sound in my motor. And it goes for about 20, 25 seconds before it starts going off. And it's probably, it's not getting the oil up there right away, I guess, or something. Is that what it sounds like to you?
A few different things. Have you switched the engine oil? There was a TSB for that to run a thinner winter grade oil.
Normally, I think I'm running a 10.30 or 5. I think it's a 10.30 I'm running in there.
Yeah, that might be something you need to look into. A lot of those got revised to like a 0.30 or 0.20.
Wow.
And part of that is to help the oil get to the top a little bit faster. That 10 weight's a little much with a cold start for that whole top lifter plate assembly. Now, also a couple things with that. I've seen a lot of lifter failures with them. The lifters they're not the best design on that certain vehicle with the variable displacement where the lifter shut down. There's also a couple solenoids that sit on the valley plate and that controls all that. So a few different places that I've seen that kind of noise come from.
Yeah, that whole thing where it shuts down from an 8 to a 4 cylinder, that is the dumbest idea. But because I've read an article too where it said that's hard on the lifters too.
Oh, it's hard on it. Yeah, it's not. Yeah, Cadillac did it in 1980, and they very quickly realized it was not worth the fuel savings for the reliability.
Yeah.
But in this day and age, nobody really cares about reliability, it seems like, anymore. So they're just trying to get the best mileage. But the other thing it possibly could be is I've seen the Chevys do have an issue with exhaust leaks. So if you're hearing a little bit of a tick, it could be an exhaust leak tick. And then as the manifold warms up, it expands and eliminates that. So it would be good to verify that it's not. We have a good way of testing for exhaust leaks on the manifolds. And so that's a good thing to check off the list because it's very, 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 it's very hard to determine the two, especially because if it only lasts for, say, 20, 15 or 20 seconds, it's hard to pinpoint that noise.
Yeah, it is.
So
okay, hey, thanks. I appreciate it. Yeah. That gives me a way to go here.
Yeah, yeah. Look up. Well, you can come by too if you want. But if you look up the TSB on that, like I said, Chevy wants that motor oil weight changed, and then because of what you're talking about right now is part of the reason. And then look to see if you have an exhaust leak.
So you think like maybe a 5.30 might be the solution for the oil?
I don't know if it's going to be a solution necessarily, but it's definitely something that needs to be, to avoid any further damage. Sometimes if that lifter's already got a bad spot in it, oils is not really going to fix it, but it'll keep it, you know, stop the bleeding, right? So it won't get any worse.
Yeah.
So you definitely want to look into that. If the lifter's not pumping up completely, it's hard to say that running like an oil system cleaner, some of the really good oil system cleaners get in there, get some of that sludge maybe cleaned out of the lifter and then start running that ride oil. You might be able to save it. But once that lifter collapses and has a hard time pumping up, it's always going to kind of have a hard time with that until you get it replaced. Right. But at least, like I said, at least you can stop the bleeding and get it from being any worse.
Okay. Hey, thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Hey, you're welcome. Thanks for the call. Bye.
Bye.
Yeah, that's it. Kind of goes into like the snake oil stuff, right? I don't know if a lot of it's ever going to really fix the problems, but at least you can, you know, stop the bleeding. But yeah, the 13s to like the, I think all the way to like 19s or 20s. I believe the factory spec was 530, and they are changing that rec to a zero weight. It should have been like a TSB. I'll have to look that up during the break and see if I can recall what that TSB was. I'm pretty sure it was for that one. There's been a lot of different things that they've, between Dodge and Ford and Chevy, it's like, man, it's a lot to try to keep up with, especially how many times they change it. But anyways, where were we at with that? I don't get too much into oil. I guess I could segue into oil. How much time do I got left? 15 minutes? I think I was talking about, differentials. Well, let's just get back into differentials. We can save motor oil for next Saturday. There's always time. Sometimes I feel like there's too much time, and then there's just never enough time, all at the same time. All right, so differentials. We were talking about a few different ones. So with differentials, we have the different ones. And again, I was talking about open differentials. As you're taking a turn or a corner, you want one wheel to spin a little bit faster or slower than the other, because that's the nature of the road. Now you get into limited slip, and you have what they call like the posi track or limited slip. Now, posi traction is just, that's where General Motors came up and trademarked limited slip. So posi and limited slip are the exact same thing. But posi track is a trademark term by General Motors. So limited slip LSD is the correct fundamental term for a differential that has clutches in there that allows both wheels to spin at the same time when under a load. And then GM took that and just called it posi, and that's how we all know it as. So keep that in mind. It's all the same thing. Now, open differential, when your differential is open, it means there's no clutches inside. So you have the one tire fire, the one peel squeal, whatever you want to call it. Only one tire powers it. I got to take a break, and we'll finish this up here after the break.
Serving San Luis Obispo County for your weed abatement needs, your best bet is Ken Silva. From half acre to 25 acres, integrity, hard work, and quality service. Mowing accomplished with tractor and flail mower, which is cost effective and more efficient. Clean it and cut it with Ken Silva. Free estimates. Call or text Ken Silva, 805-459-6011.
Hello, everybody. This is Danny from Paso Tile and Stone, where elegance is made affordable. You know, actually, people have told me, I miss your commercials. Well, this commercial is a thank you commercial for all the contractors. We have 35 regular contractors that buy from us consistently. Thank you to them. Thank you for the homeowners for all the repeat business. We had a great year last year, an increase of 33%. So thank you for that. How about we celebrate by giving you prefabs for $99? We have tile for 99 cents. We have luxury vinyl for $1.99 to $2.99. We have buy one, get one free slabs. So come on down to our showroom for our tile and slabs, 3850 Ramada. And for luxury vinyl and cabinets, please come to 447 North Main Street, Templeton. Blessings to you and your family. Thank you.
Who's got the best breakfast around? A recent survey says it's a three-way tie between Joe's Place in Paso, Joe's Place in Templeton, and Joe's One Niner Diner at the Paso Robles Airport. Who took the survey? People with great taste who like food that tastes great. By the way, their lunches are great too. Joe's Place in Paso, Joe's Place in Templeton, and Joe's One Niner Diner at the Paso Robles Airport. Open every day from 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. for breakfast and lunch. Thank you, fellow Americans.
Heater not helping much? Call Hutch. Hutch Heating and Air in Atascadero. Just like changing the oil in your car, changing the filter in your heating and air conditioning system will make it last longer and cost less to operate, which means more time in between needing a service technician, like me, Jared. But when you do, please remember us. Heater not helping much? Call Hutch. Hutch Heating and Air in Atascadero. Call us at 466-8199 and on the web at hutchhvac@yahoo.com.
Work hard. Work safe. Wear the best. Red Wing Shoes. Built for comfort. Built for durability. Built to handle the toughest jobs. And on the Central Coast, there's only one place to get them. Tack and Shoes. Your exclusive Red Wing dealer with the best selection, expert fitting, and boots that won't let you down. Got a Red Wing voucher? Bring it in. They accept them all. Tack and Shoes on the corner of 8th and Spring in Paso Robles or on Marsh Street across from Wells Fargo in San Luis Obispo. Work starts here.
Welcome back. This is Gearhead Radio. Thanks for tuning in. All right, before the break, we're getting into differentials. We're differentiating ourselves here. Like that, because I had to retire from the previous segment because I was talking about tires. All right, that's enough of that for today. So, which is right for you, I guess, is what we're talking about with differentials. So, a lot of stuff, it's one of the things that we kind of ignore, right? Transmissions is another one. It's under the vehicle. I tell you it's lifetime fluid. You never service it, maintain it. It needs to be. Same with differentials, 90 to 100,000 miles. There's only three quarts at the most, sometimes up to four or five, but three quarts in general of differential fluid. Now, if you have a front-wheel drive vehicle, something you don't have to worry about because the transaxle, the transmission in the front of the vehicle, it's all a shared fluid system. It's the transmission fluid is the differential fluid. So you don't have to worry about it. Now if you have an all-wheel drive, say like a Subaru or a Honda that's all-wheel drive or something like that, then yes, there's a differential in the back of the vehicle. And sometimes, well, and every time, there's a transfer case. And sometimes that transfer case has a separate fluid. And it's only about a quarter fluid in that thing. And so that needs to be serviced as well. Couple little insider tips there in case you didn't know. Now, if you have a rear wheel drive vehicle, then you do have a differential because that's where the power goes to the rear wheels. And there's a differential back there that needs to be serviced every 90 to 100,000 miles with gear oil. Now, with a limited slip, there's friction material in there. And this is kind of how it works. You have springs that push against each axle inside of that carrier. There's little clutches. Now the clutches have to slip because you want it to slip as you go around turns. If it was to be locked all the time, then and both wheels are spinning the same speed, as you take a corner, you need the inner wheel to spin a little bit slower and the outside wheel to spin a little bit faster so it can pivot, so it can spin in a circle, so it can take the turn. If it didn't, then your tires are going to lock up and you're going to get a lot of skidding going on. And if you're going fast enough, you're going to lose control. So part of traction is you want one tire to spin a little bit slower. Now, those frictions, those clutches are meant to slip on each other. And then as soon as you put it under load, the centrifugal force will push those springs to then lock the clutches up to allow both tires to spin the same direction. Now, with that being said, with a limited slip differential, or as GM likes to call it, a posi unit, you have to run limited slip fluid. Or you have to add a friction modifier to the gear oil. Now, over time, as that gear oil will start breaking down, you start losing the friction modifier. It breaks down over time. You got to remember, differential fluid is going to get very hot too. And if you're doing a lot of towing, that also increases the temperature of the gear oil. Now, to kind of wrap all the segments together, as you start running bigger tires, say you put oversized tires on your Jeep or truck or whatever it is, you're creating more shear force on the gears of that differential, which creates more heat, so that gear oil should be changed a little bit sooner. Or alternatively, like the manufacturers want, if you look in your owner's manual, it says 75-90 or 80-90 for normal use, or 75-140 if you're towing. Now, they don't say if you're going to put 35-inch super swampers, you should run this type of gear oil, right? It's not something they put in there. But you have to be cognizant enough, or your service provider needs to understand that if you're running bigger tires, then that gear oil needs to change, right? And a lot of the time going to 75, 140 will help because it is 140 weight at the hot temp, which is going to help reduce a lot of the friction inside the differential, which is going to lower heat. Now there's also high point oils, and you get into the heavier style like red line or AMS oil. Sometimes that's the way you want to go if that differential fluid is beginning to get really hot. You know, you start hitting 250, 300 degrees on the differential gear oil after a highway drive, you definitely need to change the gear oil to a different type because it's not going to last very long. Now, getting back to the friction modifier, if you have a limited slip and that friction modifier is getting hot, it's not going to last very long. And before you know it, you're going to get into a parking lot and taking a sharp turn into a parking space, and you're going to hear that chirping out of the back because the tires are turning at the same speed because the clutches are not slipping like they're designed to do. Now we get into a lot of different ones. We talk about lockers, right? Lockers is when that differential is completely locked up. And you might have heard the term, I'm going to weld the differential, I'm going to weld the spider gears. It's basically like a poor man's locker, right? There's a set of gears. There's four gears inside of that carrier that are designed to kind of spin upon each other to allow the wheels to spin independently. If you've ever jacked up the back end of a car, you spin one wheel and the other wheel spins the opposite direction. It's because there's four gears in there that are kind of rolling on it on top of itself. And it's kind of hard to describe without seeing it. But that's what they do. Now, if you were to take those gears and just weld them all together, then they no longer can roll and you spin the one tire and the other one spins the same way, similar to what a locker would do. Take with that information what you will, but that's kind of where it started when it comes with lockers. Now, if you were to take that and use that on the streets, you could imagine that every time you turn anywhere in a parking lot, you're going to hear both tires, you're going to have that skipping. You're going to have that tire that's going to be chirping because it's not allowed to break loose and spin independently. Now you get into different ones. Some of the vehicles have an e-locker or an air locker. Maybe this is something you're looking into. And it's like, what should I do? Well, the air locker is going to be the top end of the scale. Do you need that? Do you need an onboard compressor now? You need an air tank? Right, or you could just run an independent air tank, keep it powered up. But the main thing here is you're using an air solenoid to lock those sides, the differential together, versus an e-lock where it's kind of a cam. So the e-lock will lock it, but it requires about a half a rotation on one side of the axle. So you have to spin one wheel about a half a rotation before the cam will lock. Now it's a cam in a sense of, like if you took your hands in a C. So you're holding both hands, your left hand, your right hand is in the shape of a C, and you put them together, right? And your fingertips are touching. Now you got to go half a turn and they lock together. That's what an e-locker does. Now, an air locker is if you spread your fingers apart and you just hit the air locker, sometimes your fingertips are going to touch. And then all you got to do is just barely switch and then boom, they're interlaced. So the air locker is a much, much more efficient, much quicker on to lock that differential up, where an e-locker is going to take a little bit of a turn. So I hope that helps differentiate between the two. Not super important unless you're like a really hardcore enthusiast. And I think by that point in time, you can make the decision for yourself because you've already spent who knows how much money. Probably your kid's college fund on your off-road rig. So you've got the education to figure that one out for yourself. Now, for the rest of us that just like to drive around that don't really need that too much, anytime we do a differential at the shop, we always recommend a TrueTrack. Now, TrueTrack is a non-wearable, it doesn't require any special fluids. It doesn't have any clutches in it, doesn't have any springs in it. It's just a helical style limited slip differential. So it uses centrifugal force with planetaries to actually keep both wheels spinning the same speed when you need it and open when it's not. That's what we recommend on everything we put in. If you have any questions about that or you want yours looked at, we'll be open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday next week. Come on by anytime. We can chat about it. I appreciate you being here. Look forward to seeing you next Saturday at 9 a.m. Have
Gear
a great
Head
weekend.
Radio.
See you.
Jimmy Purdy is brought to you by Shifting Gears in Paso Robles on River Road. You can trust Jimmy and his team to take care of you and your vehicle the first time, every time. You're listening to The Right Choice, AM 1230, KPRL 99.3 FM. Paso Robles, Tascadero, and Templeton.